Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do belong to you. And as we come to your word now, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds. May we be filled with your spirit. And Lord, that we would learn and just praise you for the great and awesome God that you are. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, we'll look at verses 20 to 28. And we're going to be looking at a mother's ambition. A mother's ambition. You know, Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed." You know, mothers have such a powerful influence over their children. And the verses that we read here in our text this morning are just going to show us the ambition that mothers have for their children. You know, it's a mum who gives their child the first touch, who first strokes their tiny little faces and touches their fingers and toes. It's with the mum that a family bond is first cemented. And mum is usually the first they see as they open their eyes. But not just when they're born, also through life, in the first stages of life. Mum wakes them for the start of the day. Mum gets them organised for breakfast, gets them going for the day ahead. Even well into the working years of a young adult, it's the mum who has the biggest influence in the nurture of the children. She's with them on her own for much longer periods than dad is. And I just need to say this, though. She is no more important than a father's influence. The father's influence is the one that should set the standard for the whole family. And from that, mum then is able to work into their children's life the direction of the family. But if there's one area a mother does excel, and that's in her ambition to do and want the best for her children. You know, a mother can have an eager desire to see their children excel. And at times it can be a little overzealous, amen, a little bit passionate in bringing that about. And it is in a mother's nature to want their children to be the best at what they do. Now, children can get away with fooling dad for a while, but they can never fool their mum. They know what's going on. You know, you say there's no homework, dad says, "Oh, okay then," but mum says, "No, get it out and let's go over it." And they even want their children to do a little bit better. But if there's one person that has their family worked out, it's mum. And in fact, many mums have it all worked out, amen. I say that with love. They have it all worked out. Now, our text this morning, if we have a look at that, Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28, "There came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, 'What wilt thou?' She saith unto him, 'Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They say unto him, 'We are able.' And he saith unto him, 'Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father.' And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, 'Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Now, Jesus had been approached in Matthew 19:16, he'd been approached by a rich man who wanted to know how you would receive eternal life. And Jesus told him, "If you want to enter into life, then keep the commandments." That's verse 17. And Jesus gives a list to this young man and says, the young man says, "Well, I've kept all these." And Jesus says in verse 21, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And Jesus then goes on to say to his disciples, he expounds to them about it being easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. and that those who have forsaken houses and families and country for his name's sake shall inherit everlasting life. Jesus then goes on and gives a parable of the vineyard and the workers. Now, chapter 20, after that, on the way up to Jerusalem, he takes his disciples aside and he tells them about his death that he's about to face. He says he'll be betrayed by his own people. He'll be condemned to death, delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. They'll scourge him and crucify him, and he will rise again the third day. Now, after he finishes saying this in Matthew 20:20, we see, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing to him. Now, this mother is known as Salome. Many, many great scholars like to say she was a sister or cousin of the Lord's mother. They get that from various passages of Scripture. And that's why the Lord may have left his own mother in the hands of John as he was hanging on that cross, as the kinsman took care of the family. But whatever the relationship she had with the Lord was, she comes to him desiring, and notice a certain thing. She wants something. And Jesus asks her, well, what is it? And in verse 21, she replies, she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit on the one on the right hand and one on the left in thy kingdom. You see, this mother has great ambitions for her sons. Now, Mark 10:35 is the only one that mentions that James and John. But under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're given the fact that their mother came to Jesus to ask him a pretty rash question. It was a question that had not too much thought or consideration about it. Her only thought was for her children. That's how mums operate. They think for their children. While Jesus was explaining about his death and all that was about to happen to him, she and her sons were thinking what benefits they could get out of the Lord. Can you imagine how many Jewish mothers, when they gave birth to a son, thought, man, I wonder if this is the Messiah. I wonder if he's the one. And she came, it tells us, worshipping the Lord. See, she believed in who the Lord was. She believed he would rule, he would reign. She believed that he would set up his kingdom. But she had a desire to do for her children to do well in that kingdom. And she shows her love for her children, but she also demonstrates sometimes a mother's pride. Notice what she says. She says, these, my two sons. There are no other boys like my two boys, Lord. They'll do well. They'll run your kingdom better than anyone else. My two sons. Now, she didn't ask about the kingdom of heaven. She's thinking of a kingdom that was going to be set up now. Something at that time on that earth. You see, this mother, like all mums do, she wanted position for her children. She wanted them to do well. She wanted them to be in a place of power and a place that would provide well off for them. But those were ambitions that rested only with worldly success. You know, mothers always want their children to do well, amen. Nothing wrong with that. That's what we want. That's what mums do, more so than dads do. They want them to get the right education, the right job, live in the right areas. And you know, many children today are being pressured into careers of high esteemed and for many overstocked professions. And sometimes basic trades aren't considered worthy. Children are pressured, I hear it a lot, to marry into the right type of circles. Seek a marriage that's going to be to their advantage. Yet the Lord tells us that true success comes from obedience to what He commands us to do. Now, the Sermon on the Mount gives the way to true success and true fulfillment and joy. And Jesus said, if one seeks first the kingdom of God, what does He say? All the things He spoke about. All these things shall be added. Your food, your clothing, the roof over your head. You won't have to worry if you're seeking the kingdom of God. You know, Matthew chapter 5-7, that's success in this life, but it's also success in the life to come. See, it doesn't seek its own good, it seeks the good of others. It doesn't seek material success in this life, but spiritual success in the life to come. And that should be the focus for a parent for their children. Now, I don't think any love except the love of Jesus is as strong as a mother's love for her children. We cannot put aside here the ambition this woman has for her sons. And it's a little bit selfish, but we shouldn't try and close it off either. At least her ambition was for the children to serve the Lord's purpose. Amen? And we should ask ourselves, how much deep concern, how interested are we in the success of our own boys and girls, where their relationship with the Lord is concerned? Because that's where true success is found. How much importance is placed on bringing them up in the things of the Lord? Now, I just don't mean reading Bible stories and family devotions and personal daily study of the Word. They are super important. They should be the way of life in the family home. But it means also handing your children over to the Lord, placing them in His hands. You know, I found with my mother, if a mum can't fix it, she always went ahead and fixed it anyway. Amen. That's it. And mums, when they see their children in trouble, you know what they do? They rush on in. They just try and make it right. And you know what? That could be the opposite to what the Lord may be working in their lives. You know, there are times when a child's growth, and I'm talking about spiritual growth, is hindered. You know why? Because the parent steps in when they should stay out and let the Lord take control. Especially as children get older. And the danger of rushing in could stop the Lord at work in their life. Remember Hannah? She handed over her son to the Lord. When she did that, she left her son in the safest place that he could be. You know, Samuel was in the Lord's hands. And when she gave Samuel into the service of the temple, the service of the Lord, there was no thought of her taking him back, because there was no better place for him to be than in the Lord's hands. She just handed him over and to be used as the Lord willed. There was no schemes like our mother here in this text. There was no juggling for position, no pride or prosperity for this world. She says, Lord, he's yours. This is the best thing I can do for my children. See, she just desired that her child grow up in the Lord, be used of the Lord, honor the Lord, serve the Lord only for the glory of the Lord. Now back in our text, the mother of Zebedee's children, she's expecting a temporal kingdom, you see. She thinks the Lord's going to come in and just set up a kingdom right now. And she thinks it's going to be one of great wealth and great power and one of glory. And she didn't understand, and we need to get a hold of a truth this morning. The cross must come before the crown. It has to. And so it is in our children's life. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 16, starting in verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now Jesus gives this woman, this mother, an answer in Matthew 20:22. Ye know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. See, the Lord's reply to this mother was, you don't know what you're asking. This mother, in her ambition for her children to do well, see, she saw the honor, the glory, and the happiness that they would receive from that sort of position, and she coveted that for them. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, to sit at the right hand or the left hand of a king was a token of confidence and trust. These were positions of the highest honor a king could give to their subjects. Remember 1 Kings 2:19, Solomon prepared a seat for his mother at his right hands. Psalm 110, David wrote that the Lord said unto my Lord, thou shalt sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And right now, Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. But this mother did not see or did not know the other consequences involved in her petition to the Lord. She could never have understood or imagined that her sons would face suffering, that they would face trials, and finally they would face death for the Lord. See, by the time this Gospel of Matthew was penned, James had already died at the hands of Pilate, Acts 12:2. John was going to be exalted to a lonely existence on the Isle of Patmos. Why? All for the glory of the Lord. You see, when this mother requested seats for her boys on the right and left hand of the Lord's throne, she wasn't only asking for position of honor and glory, but she didn't realize this is also a position of danger, hardships, suffering, even martyrdom for the king. And he was crucified and his apostles were martyred. Jesus said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Look what they say unto him. We are able. You know, to drink the cup in scriptures usually means suffering. It means afflictions and persecution, even death. Psalm 73:10, Psalm 75:8, Matthew 26:39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. To be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, the Lord said. This is meaning also the same thing as the cup. See, Jesus was asking them if they were able to endure the heartbreaks, the disappointments, the pain which he faced and which he must endure. Were they able to bear the sorrows that would overwhelm them like a flood? Would they keep it up when they were plunged into persecution? Now you notice the influence of this mum's ambition. This is amazing. They say unto him, we're able. We're able. If mum's asking this, we're able to do it. Now they're all there. The sons are there with their mother. And just as mum didn't realize what she was asking, the sons in their reply also did not know what really was going to transpire from such a question. And again, we can say there's no lack of love for the Lord in these two. There can be no doubt of their love, even though at this time it was mingled with personal ambitions. They were willing to follow him anywhere. Or so they thought, having no idea what it means to follow the Lord all the way. Where did the ambition for these men come from? Who can tell me? From their mum. From their mum. What an influence. You see, their petition, in a way, was inconsiderate. Because when we come to ask of our Lord, when we pray, we need to understand just how serious prayer is. This mum, her sons, had no higher idea of the Lord's mission than what they saw in front of them as a temporal kingdom, one on this earth. They were asking the impossible simply because they did not know how impossible it was. Listen, none of them would have asked that question or wanted that position if they'd been spiritually discerning and understanding what lay ahead of them. Their prayer, their petition, really is lacking humility because it lacked thought. And we should understand just how serious prayer is. Again, Hannah, she understood how serious prayer was. Yet look how far the priesthood had sunk at that time. Eli sees her lips moving with no sound coming out of them. What does he do? He thought she was drunk, told her to put the drink away. See, when we come into the presence of God with our petitions, we need to understand just how serious it is. We are sinful creatures before a holy God, our Creator, a merciful and gracious Creator. And prayer should never be taken lightly. We should come to Him with carefully chosen words. When we come to pray for our family, we should make sure we have chosen what we want to tell the Lord. Yes, we can come anytime in any situation. But when we sit down to set out our petitions to Him, we need to come in awe of such a great and awesome God. Listen, He is willing to hear us. And we should never take prayer lightly. You know, prayer is so easily to be taken for granted and come without any thought, and it loses the significance that it should have. It becomes just a habit for someone to say something as one does. And so often we go to God and we have nothing real special to say. We go because it's time to go. We go because it's the hour of prayer. We say, and let's hurry up and let's get prayer over and done with. But that's not good enough. I know, I don't know where that leaves those who hardly ever pray. I just don't know. But if we take so much care in this temporal world of our children and their health and their safety and their position, how much more important is it that we take care of the spiritual? See, if they're not born again, they have no hope. Prayer should be an act of adoration. We give God the honor and the worship He rightly deserves, inwardly and outwardly. You know, Psalm 111:9 tells us that His name is reverend. Holy and reverend is His name. And for me, I don't like to be called reverend. That's God's name, amen. That's His name. It shall be an act of communion. It's where we come into fellowship with God in the place of giving and receiving. We're in agreement with Him. It's where we speak to God about our deepest concerns. It's where we also joyfully communicate with Him. And we all have deep concerns about our families, don't we? Our children. We want the best for them. The best we can do is give them the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an act of petition. We can implore our God. We can call out. We can beseech Him earnestly with submission. It's an act of intercession. It's where we ask the Lord to intercede for our family and for others. We plead another's cause. We be right with God. We walk worthy of His ways. As I said, Dad, you've got to lead the family. You've got to set it up so Mum can organize it. I want everyone to turn to Colossians chapter 1. I don't usually say that. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Starting at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, under all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made him to be meet, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When you go home today, study those words, because that's God's will for everybody. That we be filled with the knowledge of his will. You pray that for your children. You pray that for your husband, for your wife. You set it up that they would know God's will. That's God's. God wants us to know his will. That they would come to a wisdom and a spiritual understanding of who God is and what God wants to do with their life. See, God's got to answer this. This is his will. This is what he desires for all families. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Mums, isn't this what you want for your children? Isn't it what we want for our families? Being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. Do you want strength for your children as they go through this world? Strengthen the family. How do they get it? Look what it says. According to his glorious power, under all patience. Who wants their children to have patience? Amen. And long suffering. But look what the key to it is. With joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father. That's what we teach them. Which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. They need to know what God can do for them. And this is God's will for everybody, especially the family. You see, this is something God will answer. This is his will for people's lives. And we need to get the understanding, not just in our heads, but with our whole soul and spirit. Are we prepared to get with God with this? Are we prepared to look to him and ask him and petition him? You know, when a mum can sit down and as a mum can only do and pour her heart out for her family, you know, this is God's will, brothers and sisters. See, when the Lord asked them if they were ready to be baptized with the baptism he was about to be baptized with, they said, yes, we're able. Little did they understand what the answer to that would be. Verse 23, he said to them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But, he says, to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Yes, they would follow Jesus. Yes, they would suffer for him. But the places of honor that the mother of James and John wanted for her children was not Christ to give. Those places were only to be given to those prepared by God. And Jesus doesn't deny that they have a place of glory, but he also did not say what degree that glory would be. I want to finish with a couple of things which may help us, especially the mums, to understand. When we study the life of the Lord, we see how thoroughly he took a humble and lowly place for our sakes. He laid aside his authority. He gives a silent but telling rebuke to man's seeking of self-glory, self-honor, and self-fame. And we teach our children and our grandchildren this. It's the best way to teach them is to live it out before them. True rewards come from God through faithful stewardship and obedience to Him. You see, true honor from God comes from those that honor Him. 1 Samuel 2:30. True respect, true dignity, true character that comes from God places one above the circumstances they face in this world, and it brings honor and glory to His name. But the wrong ambitions will bring offense and rebuke from other people. Look at verse 24 of our text. And when the 10 heard it, this is the other 10 disciples, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. It offended them. They didn't like what the mother was doing and trying to get jockey for position. Now, every mum thinks highly of their children. But mums don't ever think they're more deserving than any other mother's child. Don't become a stumbling stone or a rock of offense. God has given mums a great gift in their children, but He also comes with the awesome privilege to care and return them back to Him. They're His creation. And as you teach your children to walk worthy, as you train them up to come into a knowledge of His will, that they be pleasing and fruitful in every good work, that they be strengthened with all the might according to His power in patience and long-suffering, they are the most important things you can give them. And what happens as you teach your children that in those early years and the way they should go, first you will please God, because that takes faith. Mums need a lot of faith. And that's the most important thing you can give your children. Secondly, you will receive a great blessing. They will honor God and see His hand at work in their lives. And dads, again, you must set up the household so a mother can function the way God has commanded her to live and nurture her families. And mums, remember, sometimes it means you've got to take your hands off, amen? You've got to let go of the controls and let God step in. And guess what? They will arise up and call you blessed. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this wonderful story You've given us in the Bible, these wonderful truths. We praise You for the mothers we have in this church. As a pastor, Lord, I'm very proud of the mums who are here, the way they conduct themselves, the way they nurture their families. It's a blessing to my heart. And Lord, I know it's an even greater blessing to Yours. Lord, give them strength, as many mums, Lord, have a hard time in the household. They're busy. They can be overwhelmed. They can be under pressure. But Lord, help them to remember that as they hand themselves and their children over to You, that You do all things well. Father, we once again thank You for our mums. And may they, Lord, just look to You for everything they need. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.